The words of God given to us today are Acts chapter 18, 18 to 23. It is page 219 in the New Testament. Allow me to read the words. Paul stayed on in Corinth for some time. Then he left the brothers and sisters and sailed for Syria, accompanied by Priscilla and Aquila. Before he sailed, he had his hair cut off at Cenchreae because of a vow he had taken. They arrived at Ephesus, where Paul left Priscilla and Aquila. He himself went into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they asked him to spend more time with them, he declined. But as he left, he promised, "I will come back if it is God's will." Then he set sail from Ephesus. When he landed at Caesarea, he went up to Jerusalem and greeted the church, and then went down to Antioch. After spending some time in Antioch, Paul set out from there and traveled from place to place throughout the region of Galatia and Phrygia, strengthening all the disciples. Whenever I take a taxi these days, I always ask the driver about the economy and what goes on in the world. This is in order to read more deeply into our society through our conversation. About a month ago, the taxi I took had a driver who was extremely angry at the government and society. His radical, extreme conversation was at times difficult to listen to. But since he was also a member of our society, I listened carefully to his words all the way from Hapjeong to Gwanghwamun. And even now, a month afterwards, one of his questions still remains in my mind. He asked, in a world that talks money and more money, how much money would it take to satisfy people? How much money would a human being need to really say, "I'm satisfied"? The taxi driver's question made me think of a speech given by Jeffrey Immelt, CEO of General Electric, who made a visit to Korea last year. 7 a.m. the morning of October 24th of last year, 850 top executives of South Korean firms gathered in the Grand Hyatt Hotel Grand Ballroom in spite of the early hour. They were there to hear Jeffrey Immelt speak. Immelt pointed to the gap between large firms and small, the social responsibility of firms, the need to build a fair market economy, etc., as the problems companies face today. And as the answer to all of these problems, he emphasized growth. The only solution to all of the problems in companies, from corporate finance to fairness, was growth. Jeffrey Immelt is not the owner of any small company. He is the top executive of world-class General Electric. GE was created by the King of Inventions, Thomas Edison, in 1878, and is the only firm included in the first Dow Jones Industrial Average, calculated in 1896, still remaining. even after 118 years. In 2012, its total accounts stood at 156,114,000,000 won, and its profit at 18 trillion. It has branches in almost all 160 countries, and including the 14,000 in South Korea, over 300,000 workers. A massive company that is eighth largest in the world. And Jeffrey Immelt's last year's salary was $28.2 million, over 30,000 million won in our currency. Even so, Jeffrey Immelt did not look for the answer to the problems companies face in personal reflection. A human transition in life values or outlook, but only in growth. As if we earn more money, more profit, all of our problems will really be solved. Is this really the case? Are all the problems chaotic in our society due to lack of growth in our economy? Are all the problems we face because we are not as prosperous as the United States? If we make more money, will all our social problems melt away like snow? Make a comparison with the time 30 to 40 years ago. Our household economies have grown enormously. Our country's economy has grown enormously. Our living conditions in households have become so much better. Yet as a result, have our social problems been reduced or solved? In fact, it is the exact opposite. Like poisoned mushrooms, problems like corruption, extreme inequality, the loss of humanity, the breakdown of the family, and hostile class and regional conflict, all are because we have more than before. Our economic growth was not the right kind of growth, and it did not bring with it maturity. And if we think the answer to all our problems is growth and pursue growth, will growth endure forever? The space of the world we live in is finite, and its resources are limited. So how can we expect unlimited growth? When the greed that makes us want to own more and grow without limits comes into conflict with other types of greed through war, didn't history teach us the cold lesson that humans have lost more than they have gained? ignoring the human exploration of the self and personal reflection in favor of economic growth can never be the answer to our social problems. This is a life focused on making more money, and it only makes us in our relationships barren and will in the end lead to the breakdown of society. This is not the foundation that keeps ourselves and our society upright. And we can affirm this from today's scripture. After leaving Corinth with Priscilla and Aquila, and on the way to his ministry base in Antioch of Syria, Paul briefly sought the church in Ephesus and spread the gospel. Hearing the gospel for the first time, the people of Ephesus asked Paul to stay longer and communicate the gospel to them. But Paul had decided to return to Antioch in Syria. So until he came back to Ephesus, he had Priscilla and Aquila stay in his stead. As I spoke to you last time, the tent makers Priscilla and Aquila, in God's providence, became in Ephesus the first centers of the first church. The latter part of verse 21 to verse 22 says, "Then he set sail from Ephesus. When he landed at Caesarea, he went up to Jerusalem and greeted the church, and then went down to Antioch." Paul, who took the ship again at Ephesus, arrived at Caesarea, which was a port of Jerusalem. This marks the end of Paul's second mission. From Caesarea, he went immediately to Jerusalem to greet the church. Paul met the members of the mother church in Jerusalem, including the apostles, and reported on his second trip that he had just concluded. And Paul went down to his base in Antioch of Syria. That he shared the joy of reunion with the members of Antioch Church who sent him as a missionary and shared stories of his second mission trip is beyond question. Paul's second mission trip from AD 49 to 52, over 3 years, was a great march covering a total of 5,000 kilometers. Regarding this long march, we can imagine how many stories of faith Paul had to share with the congregations of churches in Jerusalem and Antioch. And to the members who heard the stories of faith from Paul, we can imagine their great joy and their grace. Life is a process of weaving our own stories. The only difference is the type of story we each weave. Christians are, like the Apostle Paul, people who weave their stories before God. During the past week, the past month, and the past year, what kind of stories have you been weaving in making money achieving success and satisfying our greed and our pleasure. We have woven stories like none other. But perhaps the stories of faith in God are few and far between. Solomon, who for a very long time sought wealth and honor, said, "Meaningless, meaningless, utterly meaningless, everything is meaningless." Stories of lives that are not stories of faith may look beautiful and strong, but before God, they lose any meaning. Verse 23 of the scripture, after spending some time in Antioch, Paul set out from there, and after a period of time passed, he set forth on his third mission trip that would take 6 years. Paul's first, second, and third mission trips all started from his base at Antioch of Syria. But his third mission trip was fundamentally different from the first two mission trips he had taken. Paul, who had started out on his third trip, was never able to return within his lifetime to his ministry base in Antioch. The members of Antioch Church and Paul were never able to meet again. After finishing his third trip, Paul was arrested in Jerusalem through the accusations of the Jews and imprisoned in Caesarea, then sent to Rome and beheaded. The goodbyes between Paul and the Antioch church in the scripture became an eternal farewell. The members of Antioch Church, when seeing off Paul, would have been filled with hope that they would be able to hear stories of his third mission trip in the far future. But unlike their wishes, they were never able to see Paul again. The Paul that they love so much, or listen to his stories. Even if we wish to see the people we love, and we want to stay up all night talking with them, in life, a point always comes when we can no longer see or talk with these loved ones. This point comes without warning, out of the blue. This is the reason we must love the people we love now, when we can see them, when we can speak with them. Verse 23 of the scripture says, after spending some time in Antioch, Paul set out from there and traveled from place to place throughout the region of Galatia and Phrygia, strengthening all the disciples. Paul, on his third mission trip, traveled throughout Galatia and Phrygia, strengthening the disciples, Christians who had received the gospel through him in his first and second mission. This means he strengthened and established them. What did Paul use to establish their lives? Did he use money or power? The Roman Empire was all-powerful back then. The empire sought external growth and external expansion. There was no limit to the growth and expansion they pursued. The empire that began in Rome on the Italian peninsula expanded throughout Europe and North Africa, Egypt and Palestine and Persia. And it went robbing and killing and taking up territory as it went. Under the horse hooves and knives of the Roman Empire, who can count the number of people who were killed? As a result, the Roman Empire became the greatest ancient empire of the Mediterranean. Its wealth grew by day, and the emperor became the most powerful person in the world. Was this territorial expansion, economic growth, and absolute power able to solve all the problems the Roman people faced back then? This was never the case. As their territory expanded and their economy grew, people fell into materialism and their inner worlds collapsed. If human beings rejoice in fights between humans and beasts, bloody fights among gladiators in the stadium, how can these humans be different from beasts? Would they have the ethical strength to support themselves on their own? In the end, the Roman Empire, which sought external growth and expansion, was divided in AD 395 into the Roman and Byzantine empires. And the Roman Empire was destroyed in AD 476 by the invasion of the German mercenary Odoacer. Before they fell externally, they collapsed internally. In this Roman Empire, the Apostle Paul did not say, growth is the only solution. This means he did not use the world's money to establish and strengthen the lives of Christians. Paul used only the gospel of the cross, the eternal gospel of life, to strengthen and establish the lives of Christians. After seeking out Ephesus, the scripture shows us Paul said the following in his letter to the Corinthian congregation. And so it was with me, brothers and sisters. When I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Paul's only interest was always the Christ of the cross and the cross of Jesus Christ. Christ, who died as a sacrifice for human sin, then broke death and rose eternally from the dead. His cross, the gospel of the cross. That is the only answer that will break death in this materialistic world and strengthen and establish us for all eternity, even beyond death. Do not ever be deceived. Growth without maturity, growth without the eternal truth, growth for the sake of growth can only make human beings false. It draws humans close to unrighteousness. It strips people of their humanity. It ruins their human relationships. It robs them of their spirituality. And when growth is growth for its own sake, it ruins people at an even quicker pace. Today in our society, the Korean Protestant Church does not inspire trust. According to a poll conducted by the Jogaejong Buddhist Social Research Center 10 days ago, on trust in our major three religions, 45.5% of respondents trusted Catholicism at first place, and second place was Buddhism at 41.6%. They were very similar. But Protestantism came last at only 26.1%. On the other hand, as the religion most responsible for conflict in our society, Protestantism gained 59.2% and came first. This is because Korean Protestantism has lost its church-like qualities. One of the fundamental reasons Korean Protestantism has fallen so far is the theory of church growth that was so popular in the Korean church 30 years ago. How can the church, which should have only the cross of Jesus Christ as its goal, make growth its main purpose? But most churches have sought growth in itself and made the mistake of using Jesus Christ, the goal, as the means instead. As a result, Korean Protestantism has lost its holiness, its purity, honesty, and ethics, and become more and more like a company. Instead of strengthening society, it has collapsed spiritually. The disciples fought before Jesus one day about who was greater. The disciples had also fallen into the trap of growth first. The person who started the fight may have been Simon Peter. For Jesus says to Simon Peter, Luke chapter 22, verse 31 to 32, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. Jesus saw the fight between disciples who had fallen into the idea of growth first as a trick of Satan. The minute they began to think of growth first, they fell into materialism. And Jesus prayed for Paul and ordered him, "When you have turned back, strengthen your brothers." The order of this is important. Only when we have turned ourselves back can we strengthen and establish our brothers. Enslaved, blindly following growth, only those who clearly turn to Jesus Christ of the cross can be used as a corridor of God to strengthen those around us upon the eternal gospel of the cross. In any situation, growth without maturity, growth without the gospel, can never be the real answer. Even as time passes, our only solution is the cross of Jesus Christ, who sacrificed himself for our sins and broke death and rose eternally from the dead. The gospel of the cross. In this hour, let us all break away from the materialism that pursues growth for growth's sake, and clearly turn back to Jesus Christ. Let us each go first and stand strong upon the gospel of the cross that has given us eternal salvation. From then on, we, like Paul, can, as real Christians, strengthen and raise this broken time and generation. Amen. Let us pray. We have pursued a solution that was not a solution. We have sought a goal that cannot be a real goal. So our families are doing better, and economically, we have grown. But we have lost precious things that cannot be bought with money, and we are spiritually barren. To you who have not ignored us and come to us through your word and showed us Jesus Christ on the cross is our only solution, we give thanks. Free from the materialism that says growth first, let us turn clearly toward Jesus Christ of the cross, who is the eternal way and truth and the life. Let us lean on the blood of the cross and each first stand upright upon the gospel of the cross. When the people we love are before us, let us love now within the gospel and weave stories of faith that do not die or fade. And so let us become the hands and feet of God, strengthening and establishing this time and generation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.